The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town, like a cancer that's silently spreading. There's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states, Washington, D.C. Before it's too late, there's not long. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, then ransom our future and our children's, that's wrong. We must take America back, as liberty weeps, our forefathers spin in their graves. Pray God will bless some way out of this mess. We must take America back.
Good evening, and welcome to the National Intel Report. I'm your host, Steve Elkins, sitting in for John Stadmiller today. Broadcasting live from Central Florida, Studio E. Today's date is November 27th, 2017. Running shotgun in North California, the most feared man in North California, Mr. Ron McDonald. Are you there, Ron?
Yes, I'm here, John. I don't know if I'm that feared. My wife is more fearful than I am.
No, you trust me, you are feared. I've talked around town, and you are a feared man. You're there. They want you on their side, and they don't want you against them, that's for sure.
Well, that's nice to know.
It is. Well, we just got through the holiday, the Thanksgiving. Ron, did you have a great Thanksgiving?
Yeah, actually, we celebrated it yesterday because my daughters work on Thanksgiving, so and they also go to their in-laws, so it makes it easier for us to celebrate it a day or two afterwards.
Yeah. Did you, by chance, participate in Black Friday?
No.
No, I didn't either.
I don't do that. Those types of things. I relish my health. You know, I like to make sure I'm going to get out of the place alive.
Yeah, I agree, and I also buy what I need throughout the year, so standing in line and pushing people aside is not my thing.
Yeah.
But, I kind of laugh about it because I expected the children to kind of step up. Mike Rivera always calls the snowflakes the children, to actually step up and say, we don't like you using the term Black Friday, making a racial thing out of it. So it hasn't happened yet, the absurdity, but hey, let's not count it out. The snowflakes
Now there's a clue out there. I'm sure they're going to use that.
Well, yeah. I'm sorry. I put that out there. I shouldn't have said that. Well, they're busy taking down statues. They're busy eliminating our history. And
how silly is that? Just so silly. I can't believe that.
It is. Yeah.
You know, telling us, are they saying that the facts don't exist, that these things didn't happen, that these people weren't involved? What are they saying?
I don't know. They don't have to have much logic. These arguments have no logic behind them, Ron. They're just whims, and they're emotional based, and they have no logic with them whatsoever. It's sad, you know, when you see these statues coming down here in the South, and they're getting their way. And the sad part is they're getting their way, and they scream loud enough, and then somebody says, "Okay, we'll just take it down," rather than standing up for the right. They'll let them have their way. So I don't know when they're going to end. I don't know when this is all going to end, really. So
I know it seems to be getting worse, isn't it? I mean, it's promoting a one-sided story through history.
It is.
You know, ignore certain parts of it.
Well, I'll tell you, Ron, I did not have the Thanksgiving that I wanted. I had no family other than my wife and I. But we are still unpacking out here and can't seem to find all the things I need to do a nice Thanksgiving. So we ended up getting in the car and driving over to the Golden Corral. I don't know if you have them out there in California.
I've seen the advertisements.
Yeah. Well, we thought we would have turkey Golden Corral. And so I was kind of ticked because I got there and the parking lot's completely full. And somebody forgot to tell me that they changed the rules on this thing they call the early bird. In Florida, everybody eats really early. All the old people rush to the restaurants at a certain time. And somebody forgot to tell me in the last 30 years, they've changed the hours. It's not 4 o'clock anymore. It's 2 o'clock. And so I get there, and there's a line of people coming out the door outside in the rain, standing in the rain, waiting to get in and get their turkey. And I just looked at my wife. I said, I can't believe this is happening. So we ended up on down the road. I thought, this is going to get interesting. We almost settled on Chinese for Thanksgiving, except the Chinese restaurant was closed. So we ended up at a Ruby Tuesdays, and I had chicken. It's funny because I got in there, and she said, the first thing she said was, "We don't serve turkey today." I said, "Yeah, I kind of figured that." So I had some chicken, but
I think it's politically incorrect to eat turkey on Thanksgiving now. I think you have to go for a ham, part of a pig.
Don't ask me why.
I'm just
Didn't even have that. They didn't have any ham except on the salad bar. So that's how my Thanksgiving next year would be much better, and I'll definitely be cooking. But about 2 hours ago, I called Ron on the phone to see what he wanted to talk about. You know, I don't always just want this to be about me. He rides shotgun, but he's a sharp guy, and I figured I'll throw something his way. You have something you want to talk about, and of course he answers back, "Well, it's kind of all bad." I said, "Yeah, that's true. It's true. It's hard to put a smile on when you wake up in the morning and turn on the news and see all the bad news and open the paper in the morning and read the bad news. I cut out articles all through the week and try to highlight the ones I think they're best for my show on Sundays. And we'll talk about that a little later. I have a show here on RBN called Off the Beaten Path, and it's on Sundays from 2 to 4 p.m. on Eastern Standard Time. So I've done 4 shows, coming up on my 5th show, and it's going really well. I'm starting to get a little following here, which is nice. I've had some people come over from, it looks like John's show, followed me over there, which is great. But you're right. It's all bad.
Well, the only thing on the website that I saw noted as interest was Hillary's fundraiser committed suicide.
Another
one of them inside of her inner circle. You know, and I'm saying, wow.
And nobody really is questioning that. You ever hear anybody from mainstream media say, "God, is that weird or what?"
I mean, this is all natural.
Yeah, it's just all natural causes. People slip on bananas. They get gunned down in front of their house, and they're not robbed, like Adam Rich. You and I get it, and RBN listeners get it. But I got to laugh at this whole sexual assault thing. John and I talked about this last week, and we agree that there is something much bigger on the horizon. This is nothing more than a diversion, this hysteria of sexual assault and allegations and accusations. This is nothing more than a cover or a diversion for something that's probably much bigger. And I assume that it's probably something to do with Hillary Clinton, and they're getting closer and closer to finding more evidence against her, to convict her, actually. And these stories that pop up now, I mean, this is something, Ron, you and I agree, this has been going on a long, long time, thing in Hollywood, the casting couch in Hollywood's been going on for a very, very long time. And nobody seems to have said anything until now, and it's been going on. It's common knowledge. And I see that they added even a dead person to the list now to go after. Marlon Brando got fingered, and Oliver Stone just got the finger pointed to him by Nellie Elson, little Laura Ingalls, Melissa Gilbert.
Are you kidding me?
No, she said that Oliver Stone sexually assaulted her. Of course, last week was the big one was Al Franken was outed, supposedly. And, he said, I may have acted inappropriately. And John Conyers just stepped down yesterday. Of course, still getting praise from Nancy Pelosi. So, it's funny how she goes after the Republicans who supposedly did these things, but gives the Democrats a pass. The hypocrisy is so thick, Ron, you could cut it with a knife.
Yeah, well, isn't that the way, right? Your side is bad, my side's good. So,
well, you got to admit, I mean, I'm for equal rights, and I'm not for what's been going on. I'm sure some of these men are guilty of this. Sure, they are. But then we have to look back at, other examples of people of power that have used their power in a wrong way, misused their power. We can start off with Bill Clinton. Of course, he got a pass, kind of in a way. He settled his problems, his lawsuits, with millions and millions of dollars, probably from the Clinton Foundation. And I just got to laugh at this last one. They went after Charlie Rose, and John and I talked about it, and John said, oh, he's guilty. He's guilty. I said, well, yeah, he probably is. You know, he could be, yeah. But this last accusation on him was, suppose he walked out into a room naked. And I thought to myself, well, maybe he was at the studio and he was showering and he came out and somebody forgot to stock the towels again. And he simply walked out and said, hey, anybody got a towel here? I need a towel.
You know, that's as good a story as any.
Hey, that's what I would use. That's what I would run with. That's a good story.
Well, you know, what's so peculiar is that when you're filthy, rich, and powerful, people just throw themselves at you. Yeah. So you take advantage of them, you know, and then 20 years later, they come up and accuse you of rape. I'm not saying all of them are like that, but I would say a lot of very wealthy, very powerful people do get people throwing themselves at them.
Sure they do. Sure they do. And they willfully do that because they're willing to, they want to be on the big stage, you know, the big screen.
Yeah.
And like I said, this is something that's been around for a long, long time. And who did get a pass was Hugh Hefner. And he made his whole life about womanizing and taking young girls and trying to make them stars. And they willfully went with him. I haven't heard one person come forward on him, even though he's dead. But one person's come forward and said he used me. You know, not one.
The casting couch.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sex sells, right? I mean, This people will lower their standards to get ahead, and that's time immemorial prove that.
You know, Ron, nobody even went after the whole adult entertainment industry. Nobody went after that whole industry, which is sleazy as can be. Nobody touched that one. You know why? Because it's worth billions of dollars. My God, nobody's going to disrupt the money, trail of money on that one. So.
Well, you know, I pretty much saw, I've seen it all. You know, when I was a kid, there was wife swapping, which was just something that just started up, and everyone was swiping wives. I don't get it, but that's the way it was. I mean, this is nothing new to our society. It's just that when someone is famous enough to get themselves in the headlines of a newspaper, someone will come forward and accuse them of rape. What are you going to do?
Yeah. Well,
part of the payment. Yeah.
You know, since this is all coming down now, I had to review my life and go back and said, I said to my wife, I said, I probably should tell you something. I had a little indiscretion back when I was on the playground in the fifth grade on the monkey bars. And this young girl, I accidentally touched her inappropriately, but it was an accident because I was falling, slipping off the monkey bars. But I'm sure she'll probably show up if I start to, you know, tell her I'm going to run for an office or something. I'm sure she'll appear somewhere and say, yes, I remember Steve Elkins. He touched me inappropriately on the monkey bars in fifth grade. I have witnesses.
That's all it takes.
That's it.
All it takes.
Which I, you and I agree, this accusations and allegations are, it's not proof. You're a man of law. You understand the law. I do. And if these things, allegations and accusations, can be now proof, considered proof, you and I and every man is in trouble.
True.
We're in trouble. Because anybody can say anything they want to doesn't mean it's true. And we know a lot of this is nothing more than political slander. Especially with Roy Moore going on right now in that race, that the person running against him, his name was Dan Jones, and he was, it's a close race, and now it's not. Actually, Roy Moore is pulling ahead, but this is nothing more than the old dirty politics of, as John would say, throwing their dirty diaper against the wall and see what sticks on you. And it doesn't have to be true, it just has to stick. That's all it does.
Yeah, it never comes out clean.
Never
comes out clean. Yeah, that's it. You're going to be tarnished the rest of your life, even if you win the campaign. If you win the nomination or what have you, the election, you're going to be tarnished the rest of your life. Look at the liberals, and they, you know, someone came out and said things about Donald Trump, and they believe everything about it. So he's tarnished for the rest of his life in their perspectives.
Well, good point, because they did try that on him early on in the campaign, to saddle him with improprieties, sexual advances on young women, using women. And it didn't stick, because several women came forward later on and said, hey, he's a sharp guy. He expects results. He's one of those, you're either a producer or you don't produce. If you produce, you get you rise up the ladder. You do well with this company. If you don't, you're out. You're gone. He hires us, he pays us well, but he expects results. He's a results kind of guy. He doesn't wait too long. He gives you time, but if you don't produce, you're out the door.
You never see anything about the 11 women that came forward and accused him in the media. Yeah. Certainly when they were accusing him, they hit the front page. What about now that they've disappeared? Where's the story there?
Yeah. Well, no, it's gone because it didn't stick. And they tried to force those women voters, tried to persuade them to actually go to the Hillary camp. And, you know, this was an emotional thing, and it had no credibility, no clout. And it was simply slander politics. If it sticks, boom, we'll make our objective in having women vote for Hillary rather than Bill, not Bill Clinton, but Donald Trump.
And you know, the crime of it is that usually the victim, or I'll say the one trying to defend himself, usually has to pay something out of pocket just to make the thing go away, whether innocent or guilty. Usually has to pay something to make it go away.
Right. I agree. Well, you know, there is a show today on some topics I want to get to a little later here. I actually want to go into some campaign promises and then lead into technocracy, some things I've kind of observed. You know, I was sitting in the Ruby Tuesdays, you know, waiting for our meal and for our Thanksgiving meal, and I was thinking to myself, you know, the root problems of things. We see the big picture here, but we don't understand how do we get here. And I started thinking about the first Thanksgiving, Ron, and the Indians and the pilgrims sitting down. And if they could have only gazed, the Indians could have only gazed into that crystal ball from the gypsies and seen what their future would be, you know, how history might have changed a little bit, you know, or if they overheard that conversation by Pilgrim Bill and Pilgrim Ted when they were talking, hey, these are nice people, nice food, and nice fertile soil, lots of game. It's kind of nice. We may have to come back here and take this away someday. So, you know, and, you know, break treaties and push them out on reservations. And it's still going on today. We just don't see it because the media doesn't tell us about it. And we call it nation building. And we continue to have this philosophy in our government that if we want something, we simply manufacture something in order to go over there and get it. And it still continues today. And that bothers me because a lot of people sit down and have their turkey dinner and they don't think about actually what has happened in our lifetime. You know, they kind of snowball over that. And it's just about sitting down with family and eating. But yeah, I look at the big picture. It's, you know, I've been thinking this way for a long time, my critical thinking. And I'm going to tell you something. This is an actual true story I'm about to tell you, that when I was my critical thinking must have started around 5 or 6 years old. And I was with my mother at the Speedway Shopping Center in Speedway, Indiana, just down the street from the Indy 500. And she was taking me shopping. It was wintertime, you know, close to Christmas, a couple weeks before Christmas. And on every corner, there appeared to be a Santa Claus here in the store, one on the corner here, one over here. And I was standing on the corner with my mom holding my hand, and I kind of yanked on my mom's hand. I said, Mom, how could there be a Santa Claus over here, here, and here? That doesn't make sense. I thought there was only one Santa Claus. And so she kind of leaned down over to me, and she kind of said, can I tell you the truth, but you got to keep it to yourself? I said, what's that? She goes, there is no Santa Claus. Mom and Dad are Santa Claus. I said, I thought so. I actually did this. I said, I thought so. I said, it didn't make sense. Now, here's a kid that watched Disney all the time every Sunday, could understand reality and fiction. And I said, well, it didn't make sense. Flying reindeer, a flying sled, big fat guy, flies around, slides down your chimney at night, brings packages to every house in the world in one night. Impossible. And that's a 5 or 6 year old. I actually said that. So she said, please don't tell any of the other kids. Their parents will come to the house and make trouble and let them live their fantasy out. But at 5 or 6, I actually knew there was no such thing as Santa Claus. So,
wow, you're pretty bright at that. I didn't know. God, it took me years to discover that.
So you got to tell me you just learned last year, right?
I just learned a couple years ago.
We got a break. You're listening to the National Intel Report.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
We're back. This is the National Intel Report. Steve Elkins and Ron McDonald in Northern California. Hey, Ron, did you notice that, I think I sent you the email, did you notice that the Dollar Tree participated in Black Friday?
Yes, I got that. I got that. Yes. My wife was there today. I'm sure she passed by that today.
Yeah, I hear everything there is for a dollar, right?
Yes, it is.
On Black Friday, everything's a dollar, right?
Save a couple things like Vienna sausage, just 50 cents a piece.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I thought that was a joke because I thought everything's a dollar anyway. You can't get cheaper than a dollar.
Yeah, you can.
Okay. Then the joke's on me. I sent that over to you and I was laughing. I thought, a dollar?
Yeah.
Everything's a dollar anyway. So, you know, my wife and I were driving around the other day and she swore up and down. She said, yeah, you're so critical. You look at everything. You're so critical. I said, well, yeah, I've been this way for a while. And even before watching Jerry Seinfeld and Larry David, because I love those two guys. And I'm always kind of saying to myself, what's the deal, you know, on this or that? If something doesn't look right, I've got to point it out. I got to figure out the answer. You know, there's a kid walking around at the flea market the other day, and he said, the silent ones rule the world. And I was scratching my head. I wish he didn't run off so fast because I wanted to ask him, what do you mean by that? I mean, silent ones really in the world. So I never got the answer to that one. So if anybody out there is listening,
understand. I could give you a clue.
Give me a clue. Go ahead.
Who do you think's running the world?
Well, the deep state. The silent ones.
Do you know who they are? I mean, are they silent about who they are? Who's in back of all the money issues?
Right. Well, okay. I get it.
They do rule the world.
Okay. I got it.
That's my opinion, though. I don't have any facts to support that.
I think that's a pretty good one. But she said, you know, you're so critical. And she said, I bet you were critical from day one, just right after birth. You know, and exit the birth canal. And you're probably screaming at somebody, it's cold out here. Somebody give me a towel, a blanket. And, you know, who do you think you are smacking me? You know, so wow. That's just me. I don't know. I kind of like me, but I am critical, and I do want answers. And that's why RBN has been really important in my life, how I found RBN several years back. And by the way, you've got a new toy in your house there, your Wi-Fi radio.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I listened to Cable San Francisco, which I couldn't get in. All the oldies, you know, the jazz and the saxophones, you know, everything. Right. I enjoyed that.
Well, I'm glad you finally got one of those. Pam got you that. It's great. But
It was supposed to be for last Christmas. I just never got around to sending for it.
Well, you know, I live by this thing. And I wanted to just tell the listeners out there, if you love talk radio, you love this network and other networks you want to listen to, or just music, you like music, this Wi-Fi technology is great technology because most everybody streams nowadays. And I predicted this several years ago that this technology was going to be huge and the prices were going to start to escalate, and they did. As the military discovered this technology, Wi-Fi technology, they found out they could stream back home. They could be in Afghanistan and stream their little radio station back in Santa Rosa or wherever they are. And it's kind of neat technology, and I live by it. My number one preset is RBN, which is kind of nice. If I just hit the button, turn it on, 3 seconds, I got RBN on there. So, listeners, you might want to check into this technology. It's great. Save your computer for doing computer work, but the Wi-Fi technology is awesome, and it's pretty affordable. It's not that bad. So I've got a couple in my house. My parents have them. They're listening right now on their Wi-Fi radio that I gave them. And it's great technology, so if you're into this kind of stuff, music or talk radio, I suggest you look into the technology. And Amazon and Sea Crane Company are two pretty good companies that make Wi-Fi radios. So I get nothing out of this, just telling you this. It's great technology, and I'm always scouting around trying to find out who's saying what out there. So
preset number one is RBN on mine, too. That's the first time I was able to listen to a full day of RBN.
Right, you listened to Mike Rivero, didn't you?
Yes, I did, and I heard you on his show.
Who is that Steve guy calling in all the time? Yeah. It's me. Well, let's get into the topic tonight. Ron, out in your way there, did you notice a lot of crowds as far as the Black Friday selling? Did you see a lot of people out there?
Actually, I haven't been into town, so I haven't paid attention. I did go to Safeway, and that was filled. I mean, it was filled, packed. So,
well, the reason I say it is because, you know, we've been told these numbers, these statistics. And I remember my teacher in business law in high school, Mr. Vargas, great guy. He wrote on the chalkboard, there are three kinds of lies. There's lies, damn lies, and statistics. And I'll never forget that. So when I hear government telling me, patting themselves in the back of all the great numbers, now the economy is doing so well at, 3.9 or 4.1% unemployment now? It's gone back and forth. What is it now, Ron? What do you think, 3.9?
I think 4.1, I thought, was the last one I've heard.
Yeah, I thought it would have lowered that. We'll be right back. You're listening to the National Intel Report.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Do you or a loved one suffer migraine headaches? Listen to what scientist Kurt Hendricks has to say.
35 million people in the United States suffer with debilitating migraines. If you or a loved one are one of them, you need to know about MigRelief. Hi, I'm Kurt Hendricks, the scientist that formulated and patented the MigRelief migraine formula. MigRelief is a non-prescription dietary supplement recommended by neurologists, pharmacists, and pediatricians to address nutritional deficiencies in both adults and children over 2 with migraines. Try MigRelief for 3 months and see the powerful difference it can make in your life or get your money back, no questions asked. Go to MIG911.com or call 800-MIG-7354. You can change your life today.
So if you suffer from migraines, don't wait. Call 800-MIG-7354. That's 800-MIG-7354 or visit MIG911.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guaranteed. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I said again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Campaign promises. You know, when we had the campaign running between Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, we heard lots of promises. Kind of want to lead into that campaign promise and accountability section there. And then I want to go into a thing called technocracy, something I noticed out here in Central Florida. But, you know, Ron, on the campaign trail, presidents, they have to sell themselves. You agree with that?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah.
Presidents, the office is paid for and won by big, big bucks. I can't remember how much did Hillary actually spend. Was it near, what, a billion?
Near a billion, yes.
It was. So presidencies, you got the money out there. And it's amazing. Like I said, if we hadn't all gone out and voted for Donald Trump, the vote rigging, she would have won this whole thing. And so hopefully he'll fix that that flawed system in the next couple of years before it's too late, because I think he'd definitely lose the next time around. But going into the campaign promises, you know, you get on the soapbox and you tell people wherever you're talking to, you're pandering a lot of times, and I don't like pandering to certain people. I believe standing behind what you say and not in front of this crowd of people, you'll say this to make them happy, and they all say yes, and to these people the same. But the campaign promise and actually standing for it and having accountability once you get in office. And we heard Donald Trump say, make America great. We're going to bring back jobs to this country. And I said, those are all great things. Those are all great things. And right now, even though we're being told we have 4.1% unemployment and the stock market is soaring and everything is so rosy, it doesn't make sense when you factor in all the store closings. And we saw some big, big stores this last year close. Sears is on the brink of closing their doors. Kmart's hurting really bad, which is owned by Sears, or vice versa. Macy's, Radio Shack is pretty much gone. I think they have a few stores, maybe some internet stuff. But we've seen literally 1,000 or more. I can't remember the actual count. I used to have it written down. But stores that have gone out of business. And so when somebody is telling me that the economy is doing so well and Wall Street is doing great, yeah, these are all great numbers. We're seeing numbers. But like I said, I go back to Mr. Vargas's lies, three kinds of lies, damn lies, and statistics. And I know that when their lips are moving, most likely they're telling me a lie. So I don't buy it. I have to see it to believe it. And so getting on to the campaign promise of bringing jobs back, I'm one of those guys that kind of likes to dissect the whole problem and figure out, first of all, why did the jobs leave? I think it's important to know, to diagnose it, to say what happened. Why did this all happen? Why did the jobs leave the United States in the first place? So if you understand that, then you will not repeat the same mistake twice. What do you think of that, Ron?
I think you're spot on. That's good logic.
But you don't hear anybody talking about that, what actually happened. And I talked to Mike Rivero about this one time. He didn't quite believe. Actually, he did. He said, no, that's not an issue. That's not an issue. And I thought it was. I crunched the numbers, and I respect his opinion. He's a good guy. He's a sharp guy. But I looked at the root problem of why jobs left this country, and it's one word that started the whole thing, and that was unions. Unions were very, very strong. I think at this time we're looking at about 11% participation in unions now in this country. Unions were very, very strong back in the 70s. I remember my next door neighbor was with PATCO, the Professional Air Traffic Controllers Association. And he did well. He was well paid for being an air traffic controller. And so I looked at that, the problem with dealing corporations, dealing with the unions, the high wages, the demands, the benefits, all that factored into their price, and now their profit margin wasn't quite so nice. And so they figured, how could I get beyond this problem? The unions were very, very strong at that time. So my question was, Donald Trump bringing back jobs to America, make America great again, that's great. It's great rhetoric. But the thing is, how are you going to do that? Because they left this country because of union high demands. They left because of the EPA standards that were strict. They looked for a cheaper workforce to give them greater profit margin. And politicians obliged. They wrote in the loopholes and the laws and allowed you to outsource your company, your manufacturing, to another country. So we all said, well, how'd this happen? Well, that's how it happened. So my question to the listeners, anybody's listening out there, or Ron, would be, to make America great again, to bring back jobs to this country, how do you do that and not go back to square one with having the same problem you had before with the unions? Because I think American consumers are very, very comfortable now with cheap prices. Now, I like to save money just like anybody else. I go to the Walmart. I'm not a big Walmart fan, but I go there and I price shop. And I find their prices are actually pretty cheap compared to other places. And I guess they boast about saying that their consumers, on an average, save around $2,500 a year if they shop with them. So they've got the big slice of pie, you might say, Walmart does. They're all buying their goods from China. Target's doing the same. about 10 years ago, they had that big promo, Made in America, which didn't last very long. I was proud of Walmart for doing that. At the time, I was a shareholder, and I thought, great, great idea. Make America great, you know, buy American made. But the problem I see now, Ron, is that the question I ask is, how do we bring jobs back? You can give them the tax advantages, these industries. You can give them the tax advantage to come back, and they'll start back up again. But then that little thing called the union creeps back in, and then, of course, the price goes up, the wages go up, the benefits go up, and your price of what you used to buy pretty cheap at that time now starts to get inflated, and you start to say, wait a minute here. Now, price is going up. We have a stagnant market as far as wages goes. People aren't getting the wages they used to get. They're not getting their pay raises every year. So keeping factoring that all in, how do we bring these jobs back, even if we give them the tax breaks, and not have the union creep back in and drive those prices back up and actually just kill retail and throw us into a huge economic slump? How do we do that if we're all used to getting cheap, cheap prices now?
Well, you know, the real problem doesn't deal with large corporations. It deals with the common man and his inability to start business and compete against these larger corporations. Prior to the 1929 crash, anyone could open a business, and it wasn't regulated. And competition ran wild, where you can compete and increase the value of the dollar in someone's pocket. And I'll give you an example. If a mousetrap cost a dollar, let's say on Friday, and someone invented a better mousetrap that cost the customer 50 cents, he's doubled the dollar, or doubled the amount of money in the consumer's pocket. We need to get rid of all the regulations that prohibit businesses from competing, so people can get back in, because creativity is stifled when you have regulations.
I totally agree. And I'm glad you brought that up, because I had several things I've invented, and I tried to seek a patent. You know how hard it is to get a patent, Ron?
Yes. Yes, I do.
I mean, it is so ridiculous, and you don't know if your invention is going to really sell. But on average, I think I was looking at to have a patent attorney research it to make sure nobody else has developed this yet. And I had several great ideas. I actually had some prototypes I'd built. And they said, well, that'll cost you $10,000 for that one, $10,000 for that one, $10,000. You're talking about stifling
yes.
the market and creativity, to say that you're going to have to pay this much money up front to get this thing going. And I've shelved all my stuff. Drawn out. I have schematics for things I've invented, and they're going nowhere because of this regulation that you have to pay all these fees to get your invention out there. And you know what? If they drop the ball on that and just stop that whole regulation thing, Ron, do you realize how many inventions are out there that would really help our lives?
Oh, God, yes. God, yes.
I mean, you probably have a few yourself. You've invented something.
Yes, you know. I do.
Yeah.
Actually, I do, and very very good inventions. Let me say that.
Yeah. I had some medical ones I invented. And I just, you know, unless I had some financial backing that some industry would say, yeah, I'll back you on that. And then we'll work it out, the finances on it. But as it is, I'm holding on to things I can't get out there. And I'm sure they would be definitely beneficial in my market.
Well, the biggest problem is when you invent something, if there's something similar out there, you can't get the patent on it. So, and let's say you have something that it's very unique. If you do not get it across the country and globally at once, someone else can copy it and replicate it and make the money off of your invention. So, this is it. But, you know, I know the problem in our society. We're regulated unbelievably so that we cannot compete with each other to increase the produce in the United States. We don't need large corporations. We just need to let the little man get out there and start doing his own thing. And you'll see a great nation again.
Yeah, they're killing off the small businessman. They really
yes.
are. They're swallowing up all the small businesses. We got a caller on the line, Sherry in Kansas. You're on the National Intel Report. What's on your mind?
Hi, Steve and Ron. Hi, Sherry. Don't get it, Steve. They're bringing the jobs back. The only problem is you have to go to prison to get them.
Yeah. Hey, Love Sherry, do you think they have...
How,
go ahead.
That is how they're bringing the bringing us down to the same level as the rest of the world. You know, all these prison industries are competing with, you know, businesses out there, particularly small businesses, you know. These, you know, they're making all sorts of stuff in prison. I was listening to somebody talk about construction, you know, the other day. I think it was on Darren Week's show. Right. But, yeah, I had a friend, that back in, I'm not sure if it was the 80s or the 90s. I think it was the 80s. He had a machine, has a machine shop, and he developed a carburetor that got really good gas mileage. This guy used to demonstrate at the International Tesla Society once or twice, their conferences, and he's a really smart dude. But to get that on the market, he was going to have to put it on some brand new cars and let them crash. And he couldn't afford to do that.
Yeah, you bring some interesting points up. You know, you mentioned the prison system here, and it's interesting because that's another no-win situation of privatized prisons. And I was just thinking about, you know, within 3 years, 80% or 82%, I think it was, returned back to prison. And, you know, this is a, you know, an empty cell, Ron, it's like an empty airliner, you know, empty seat on an airline. It makes no money, and an empty cell makes no money also. So the whole industry itself, the prison system itself, is really flawed, because if you get out of prison and you try to go out there and get back into the workplace and you fill out an application, it says, have you ever been arrested? Have you ever served time? Or are you a felon? And they say yes. Well, then nobody's going to hire you. So at some point in time, if you have to eat and you have to take care of yourself, you're going to return back to crime to do that. So you go right back into the system again. It's definitely a flawed system, the whole prison system.
Right, and the real problem is that they lack injuries. Many of the people in prison haven't done a crime that caused anyone an injury.
Exactly.
It's merely a non-injury crime. I mean, it's unbelievable what happens in this society. You know,
I agree. Sherry, so what is our solution here with the unions coming back, bringing the jobs back? How do we not get the unions back involved again and drive those prices? Let me ask you a question. If you wanted to buy a TV right now for Christmas, if we had unions back in place, that TV you used to buy, which is a nice big flat screen, 55-inch, let's say normally it would cost you, let's say, $350, $400. And so we bring back the jobs, we bring back the unions, and now your $400 TV next year for Christmas is going to cost you $650. Would you buy that TV?
I think we got to get away from all this consumerism myself, so that's what I'm doing, because I can't afford that stuff. But that's, you know, did you ever read John Taylor Gatto's book, The Underground History of American Education?
No, I did not.
Oh, that's a very good book, and it's free on the internet now. You can download by chapters and read it, but I got the hard or the physical copy. But he, you know, and he was in advertising before he became a teacher. But, you know, they started gearing the whole education system to make us consumers and to, you know, all the, and this gets back to Ron's commercial aspect of everything. And, you know, our living is not supposed to be just for more stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
I agree.
And that's where I see society is flawed. But, hey, Steve, before I hang up, I wanted to Do you happen to listen to Deanna Spingola's first hour last Saturday?
I did not. What did she say?
You need to go and listen to that. She had a professor on that lost her job, but the lady started researching pedophilia aspect, and one thing she uncovered is that a lot of these pedophiles, they go into government jobs, you know, in the social services, and particularly she was talking about teachers, and particularly they get children before they're even, they prey on these autistic kids or children that can't verbalize what's happening to them.
Right.
It was something else.
So that was last Saturday, you said?
Deanna Spingola? Deanna Spingola's show.
Okay, I'll check it out. I just made a highlight there. I'll check that out. Okay, I thought maybe we're going to go into something with vaccines because Deanna is pretty active against the mandatory vaccines, which I am also.
But she said particularly in the teaching profession.
Yeah. I'll check that out. Hey, thank you very much, Sherry. I appreciate it.
All right, thanks. Bye.
So, Ron, how would you feel about your TV if you're in the market for a new TV and it went from $350 to $650 or
$700? You
wouldn't buy it.
I wouldn't buy it. No, yeah, definitely not.
No. And since our economy is pretty much commerce-based, if we have to have a thriving economy, we have to have commerce. We have to have people spending money. So kind of confused how we could actually get jobs back and bring and keep the unions under tight control to say not let this thing get out of control again, because I see the problem to start all over again.
Yes.
And I do want to see this country working again, which now brings me into something I
have a caller, Steve.
Got another caller. Okay. Mark in Florida, you're on the National Intel Report. What's on your mind? Mark, you there?
Real quick, but can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
Okay, I'll get to the topic real quick, but I wanted to comment. I did make it to Golden Corral with the family, but my son didn't because he had to work at Ruby Tuesdays. I thought that was kind of funny, and I ate up. I went up, headed up north. I ate in the Villages, a place you kind of avoided. But as far as the topic's concerned, a lot boils down to the lack of enforcement of property rights. And that has killed a whole lot of things. Lack of property rights allows manufacturers in your neighbor to pollute. Lack of property rights prevents you from getting your patent. Lack of property rights allows you to keep your labor, your wages. They've stolen our property rights. And that's why everyone's in court for all kinds of things that do not apply. It's property rights, the right to your life. Your life is your property. And they've stolen our rights, our property rights.
I agree with you 100%. Let me ask you something. Mark, what's your occupation? What do you do?
I drive trucks or school bus.
Okay. So Ron and I were talking about this before also. And here's something that I'm very offended by. And anybody who has a profession, a lot of people fall in this category. I know I do. That licensure is one of the biggest scams out there, because the state is telling you that they own your profession, they own your skill set, and I'm very offended because licensure has nothing to do with competency whatsoever. So, as a nurse myself, an ICU nurse, I can work in any state I want to work in, but I have to pay them money for the right to work in their state, which, like I said, does not equate to a high standard of competency that you are qualified. You simply have to pay to work in their state. It's kind of like a closed shop union. And along with your property, like you don't own your property, you don't own your career either. And I don't see how to get out of that system. Ron, any questions?
I do. I know a way out. instead of the state giving me my license to drive a truck, yet Yellow Freight give me that license, yet let ABF, let J.B. Hunt, let the manufacturer, the business, license their drivers. And that holds them liable. That puts the driver directly connected to the employer. It takes the state completely out of the picture.
Ron, question?
Well, I was going to say this is, again, part of the regulatory law is licensure. You get rid of regulatory law, you don't have licensure. You know, every man becomes independent. But again, we're talking what this country once was. It was a republic where the individual counted and not the mob. So here we have the mob controlling those that don't want to be controlled, and you fall into that, I fall into that.
But the insurance company sets the standards for the license. The state just enforces it and charges you fees. So and if the company wants to be insured, they license their drivers to meet the standards of their insurance carrier. And it eliminates the state.
The insurance company is mercantile. Insurance companies are mercantile. They're commerce on the high seas. That's what an insurance company is. If you do the history on insurance, you'll find out that they're the ones that insure the vessels like that carry supplies or goods and cargo. So we've transported the marine onto the land, and this is where we are. This is why we need licensures. Because we're actually swimming in, we're actually pedaling boats around the highways. We're no longer touching
the state out of it.
Get the state out of it is right.
I totally agree. Totally agree. Hey, thank you, Mark. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Tom in Philadelphia, you're on.
Thanks. How's it going, Ron?
It's going pretty good, Tom. How you doing?
All right. Enjoying the show real well. You guys were talking about the Thanksgiving and having the oddball meals and stuff. My wife and I, we don't really have any family up here, so we didn't make a turkey or anything like that. My wife made barbecue chicken tacos. That was great.
Tom, I thought you were going to say you had Philly cheesesteak sandwiches.
Well, I had that the day before. And the day after. I think I have one. You know, I was really nervous when I just had my blood work done, and I was like, oh, man, she's going to kill me. My cholesterol is going to be through the roof or something. And because I probably eat it because I'm in Philly a lot. I eat a cheesesteak maybe 3 or 4 times a week for lunch. And
wow.
Still perfect. Perfect numbers. But I just tell you. I wish, you know, you guys had you got family and stuff around. That's pretty nice because, you know, we're kind of stranded up here. Nobody around, but, you know what, it's nice and peace and quiet. And you were talking about the Wi-Fi, the CC radio, Wi-Fi radios.
Yeah. Hey, Tom, you want to stay over? Stay over after the break. Stay over after the break, Tom. Okay.
Hey, can we talk about something serious for a minute? Your age. Getting old has its perks. But remember, being a few years younger, you know, your hair was thicker, you didn't have so many wrinkles, that extra weight wasn't haunting you, and you just felt better. Well, we can't turn back the clocks and go back 10 or 15 years, but you can start feeling and looking 10 or 15 years younger with Nature's Youth RSF. It's a doctor-formulated daily supplement that helps your body maintain its peak performance and fight the aging process. Imagine sleeping better, looking better, and feeling better. See how Nature's Youth RSF has helped thousands of people just like you at naturesyouth.com. Naturesyouth.com. The holidays are coming. Imagine how it will feel when your family and friends are asking you what you did to look so good. Your secret will be Nature's Youth RSF. It's time to start looking better and feeling better. Learn more and order your Nature's Youth RSF at naturesyouth.com. That's naturesyouth.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. because you can handle the truth.